What does it feel like? Are you daunted? Are you worried? Are you fearful? Are you exhilarated? What's the emotion that goes through you?
I'm determined, and I'm confident that what I've said from the outset, I've never changed my view. This whole campaign for over almost going on 600 days, exactly what had to be done. We have to restore the soul of this country, meaning honor, decency, honesty, basic, fundamental decency. The second thing, we have to rebuild the backbone of this country, the middle class, that in this time bring everybody along. And thirdly, we have to unite the country. They're all going to be difficult to do, but I've never veered from those three principles. And so I look at it as an opportunity to make an incredible contribution to the country. But I am not, as I said to you on other interviews, I'll take responsibility. When I fail, I'll acknowledge it. And I will not deny that I made a mistake, and I'll move on. This is a little bit not unlike what happened in 1932. There is a fundamental change not only taking place here in the United States, but around the world. We're in the middle of the fourth industrial revolution, where there's a real question of whether or not all the change in technology. Will there be middle class? What will people be doing? How do they? And there's genuine anxiety. That's why you're going to see me reaching out, continue to reach out, not just to the communities that supported me. I'm going to reach out to those who didn't support me. I mean, for real, because I think a lot of people are just scared and think they've been left behind and forgotten. We're not going to forget anybody in this effort.
What goes through your mind as he prepares to take on the most important job in the world, and the outgoing president is lying about fraud, spending his time really focused entirely on trying to undermine him, whether that's the result of what he's doing or the purpose, I don't know. When he says that it's possible, when it's reported that it's possible, he'll announce that he's running for office to run in 2024 on Inauguration Day. What goes through your mind?
I believe that we are all very fortunate that Joe Biden is going to be the next president of the United States. The American people deserve in their president to have someone who is truly patriotic, who loves our country, who puts the people of the country first, not themselves. That's Joe Biden. Joe Biden is truly a kind human being. Joe Biden is someone who has endured real struggle and sacrifice and pain. He also is someone who knows love. He is someone who has dedicated his life to public service. And there couldn't be a more extreme exercise in stark contrast between the current occupant of the White House and the next occupant of the White House. And I do believe our country is going to be the better for the outcome of this election and the election of Joe Biden as president.
Madam Vice President-elect, Mr. President-elect, thank you so much for this interview and this opportunity. Obviously, I'm sure everybody watching wishes you the best of luck in terms of beating back COVID, getting the economy back on track. So best of luck to both of you, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, we're going to see a lot of one another.
David Domke, Friday, December 4th, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris talking to Jake Tapper on CNN.
That was from last night. It was an hour-long interview, Jake Tapper with the president and vice president-elects, sitting in a room socially distanced at some good depth from each other.
Yeah, it looked like 15, 16 feet.
Yeah, they were really far apart. No masks because of that. So I think they wanted to get us, quite a distance. Steve, everything about that interview is what I've been fighting for and what we as a country have needed and what we in Common Power are working towards. That clip was the end of the interview. So I encourage everybody to go watch or listen the whole thing. The interview covers a lot of ground, but a couple things emerge all the way through it. One, this laser focus on the coronavirus and the economy, melded with a commitment to racial justice and climate justice. Those four things that are going to dominate this presidency. And it's such a change. It's going to be from Obama to Trump was a whiplash of one kind. From Trump to Biden will be another kind. I believe in my heart of hearts, it will be absolute balm for our souls. Just gloriously encouraging, uplifting, hopeful, just a focus on who we can be as a country. Second, a clear partnership between the president-elect and the vice president-elect. The level of respect and appreciation for the two of them for each other it is glorious to see. It is what I would hope, in my hope of my heart of hearts, would be real, that we truly would bring Senator Kamala Harris into the process in a way that honors and respects whom we need for her as VP to be. And it's there. You can see it. You can see it in the way they talk to each other, the way they listen to each other, the way they speak of the work they're doing together and how they do it. Third, the argument that Biden makes for 600 days, he says, three things: restoring the soul of this country, the honesty, the decency, and so on, is one. Two, the fact that we need to heal as a country. And three, that we have to find a way to work together are just so central to where we are in America today. This is a man for the moment. This is a presidency for the moment. And when he said, this is 1932, given everything that we exist in this country for the last several years, I didn't know, is he going to go to 1932 in Germany, or is he going to go to 1932 in the United States? And he went, of course, as only Biden, there really was no choice there for Biden. Biden's going to go to 1932 in the United States because of his belief of what a public servant can do. And the grand change that I believe they're going to go for, the way they're going to fight for the soul of this country is, I was crying by the end.
Really?
Because it just is what we are fighting for. It is not all that we're fighting for, but it is what we're fighting for, the sense that we have not wasted our time in common power. I have not wasted my time in stepping away from the UW. This is worth every bit of energy to get to them in their positions of leadership. And lastly, I have so much respect for Jake Tapper.
You mean my second cousin, Jake Tapper? Did you know that? Jake is my second cousin, who's still around, who Jake talked about getting COVID back a while ago. His 80-year-old dad, that's my cousin. My cousin who taught me so much about how to live in the world. When I was 13, he got me a subscription to War Resisters Journal because he had just had to go to Vietnam. He was a doctor, and he had to, you know, pay his debt by going to Vietnam as a doctor. And I remember him telling me, you know, I have to do this, but you can't go to war, and here's why. And he gave me as a present, he gave me a subscription to this little mimeograph magazine that came out of, I think, Vermont, about, you know, what it was to oppose the war and what it was to believe that your taxes should be used properly. And then Jake is his kid, and he has risen up through the ranks as a, and it always makes me happy to see him all through the years.
Well, Jake is such a quality human being. You can see him in the causes he champions on Twitter for charities, his calling out of President Trump's constant lies, his Tapper standing up and fighting for the good of this country. I mean, Tapper in that position, in that interview, and the way he closes and the way he talks about the country throughout and the presidency, it just made me feel like, look, this is it. This is possible. This could happen. We actually are going to make it. We might just make it.
And it's where broadcast journalism can shine its brightest light. It shows itself to be worthy of a First Amendment.
Yeah, I really think that CNN has been the place that has taken us through the coronavirus, the Black Lives Matter 2020 year, the election. It has cut through MSNBC over here, who I spent, you know, I definitely watch Fox over here, which I periodically look at just to see what's going on. But here's CNN with Jake Tapper, with their entire news team, John King et al., Dana Bash, the Van Jones commentators, all of them. So I rise this morning after having seen the interview, watched the interview last night, saw the soul of America that Joe Biden talks about, watched the next generation of leadership, the Kamala Harris there, and where we're going. And I find myself encouraged, kind of overwhelmed by the scope of what we've been committed to for the last couple of years in common power. Overwhelmed in a very good way, in that, like, wow, this was a worthy endeavor. This has been a worthy endeavor. So much more to go, but this has been a good, good endeavor.
You know, one of my takeaways from the interview and from thinking about the Joe Biden that I was lucky enough with you to see on in person on stage in Iowa and then later in South Carolina is this, and you saw it and you heard it and saw it in that interview last night, this sense that honesty doesn't frighten him. For many politicians, honesty frightens many politicians. And I just think it's his age and his, you know, all what he's gone through. It's like, I think it's not that he doesn't have anything to lose. It's that this is the steps we take, I will take. And if, you know, I believe him when he says, if I screw up, I'll admit it. I surely believe that when he screws up, he'll have to deal with it. But he just seems mature in that sense, doesn't it? And many politicians, because of their concern about their image, don't seem mature to that point, right? That if you make a mistake, you fess up to it. And if you pay a price for it, then you pay a price for it. But I think we've learned that honesty, you know, from Clinton on through Bush and beyond, honesty is the better policy. And it's, you know, it's part of those basic values that we talk about.
Yeah, that's really insightful. He does wear that decency and honesty and integrity in a way that feels, here's the value of it, of being the oldest president of the United States, right? Here's the value of it.
Right.
That what he has gone through and what he has seen and the mistakes he's made and all of that give him this position of sobriety and determination. I love that he said, I feel determined. It's not for his ambition. This is not a guy who's got 40 years ahead of him in his career. Right? It's not. It's a person who is fighting for the soul of this country. And he can do us so much good because of that reality, because of where he is. He and they can bring us that decency and that sense of healing. I mean, there is not another politician that I know out there who approaches the entire political landscape through a lens of healing and belief that we can genuinely come together. The guy believes it in his soul, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny you use the word sobriety, because that's a good word. You know, he can't hide from his mistakes. I mean, they are there for, what, 20, 30 years we've seen him. You know, back in the 80s, we've seen what he's done. And we've seen his ego through all those years, and his hubris, and how it's, you know, changed, and how he's learned from all his experiences. And, you know, surely it's calculated, but it's calculated, as you say, based on what he's come to believe and what's in his soul. That's how it feels. That's how it feels. I know there are plenty of people who read these comments he makes, or heck, you even sent out some tweets that had as comments, you know, what a liar, what a phony, all the comments that people make. But seems like sour grapes when I read him and then I listen to him. Biden.
Earlier in the interview, Tapper asks Harris and Biden about the moments in the campaign when Harris was very critical, right, of Biden. And we know those moments, especially the debate moment when she called him out on his busing position back in the 1970s. And he said, I've seen him say this before, and he said, I don't hold grudges. I don't. There are times in campaigns when people make their positions and they say them vigorously, something like this is what he said. And that's part of a campaign. But I know her and she knows me. And we are simpatico. And that's his favorite word. Simpatico on governing and how we govern, on our values. But that statement, so simple in terminology, said, I don't hold grudges. What that is, like the opposite of our current president, right? And you cannot govern a country, a diverse country, a country where freedom reigns and people will do bad things and we need to deal with them, but still move forward. You cannot govern as a governor, as a person who holds grudges. I encourage everybody to watch the whole thing. It came out at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and we had an event in Common Power with a small group of donors last night at 7. And so I just thought I would watch the first 10 minutes or so and then turn my attention fully to prepping for the event. But I ended up watching the first half hour, watching it. And they didn't go to any commercials in that time because it was this first interview. It's the first interview since they got elected. And then they went to a commercial, and I thought, okay, that's it. I'm gonna stop now. All right. But Tapper got me before they went out to the commercial with a teaser. He said, when we come back, we'll talk about the inauguration and whether Joe Biden cares if Donald Trump comes to be president. Comes to the inauguration. So I'm like, I want to hear what he's got to say about that. So I kept watching all the way as I was doing work, all the way till people came on the Zoom call. All right. And they're coming on the Zoom call. And I said, hang on. I'm watching the end of this. And that clip we played was the end of it. And I turned around to everybody and I said, I'm crying. I'm just crying. And they were like, wow. Yeah, I hear you. Like, this is what we're working for. There are times when you're just like, is it really going to make a difference? And we know, we've heard from so many Americans over time, doesn't really matter which candidates win, which ones matter, doesn't really make a difference. No, it really, really does. It really, really does. People's lives are on the line. Our soul is on the line. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are worthy of our work. We have worked hard for a good thing. Always on these podcasts, we focus on, we got more work to do, and we do, for the Senate in Georgia right now and then beyond. But our work so far has been to get us here. And it is already making a difference. So this morning, let us be encouraged. Let us know that the endeavor has been worthy. The race has been the right race to run. Let's go forward with that determination that Joe Biden and that partnership with Kamala Harris that they have as our kind of like energy pack. I'm ready.